Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. With 2017 just a couple of weeks away, you're likely to hear a lot more about the so-called Summer of Love. Now I'm a believer. It was 50 years ago that the rock world saw a creative explosion. The Beatles, the Stones, the Doors, Jefferson Airplane, Jimi Hendrix, Pink Floyd. Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you? But the number one song of that year came from this band, Procol Harum. We skip the light fandango. Turns cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick. A Whiter Shade of Pale topped the charts, ahead of the Beatles, ahead of the Monkees and all the rest, and the band's pianist and singer, Gary Brooker, would go on to be the steady presence in the band as it underwent a number of lineup changes, and after starting a solo career in the late 70s, Gary's found time to occasionally tour with a version of Procol Harum. Now, he's performing as a guest of sax player Paul Winter in Paul's annual Winter Solstice Concerts here in New York, and that brings Gary Brooker to our Soundcheck studios. Welcome.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much.
So it has been 50 years since A Whiter Shade of Pale topped the charts. What are your memories of that momentous year?
They always say if you were there, then you shouldn't remember it.
Right. If you can remember the 60s, you weren't really there.
Yeah, or something like that. There you are. I can't even remember that. But no, I mean, it was. We had some big shocks there because we put out a single, and 3 weeks later, purely by word of mouth and the occasional radio play, because there was no stations really anywhere in the world apart from a bit of FM in America, this record was number one everywhere, you could imagine. So this rather different record actually suddenly touched multitudes of people.
Yeah.
No matter where you were from or what you did.
And it happened really fast.
Very fast, yeah.
Were you surprised, or did you have some inkling, even as you were recording the song, that you might have caught something there?
We thought we had a good song. We knew once we'd recorded it that it had come out very well. In fact, even better, it had some quality haunting about it. But the thoughts didn't really go a lot further than that, you know.
A lot's been made of the connection to Bach in A Whiter Shade of Pale. And,
yes,
you know, people have talked about the various Bach pieces, famous ones like Air on the G-String and lesser-known ones like some of the cantatas. Were you, Gary, classically trained? Did you have Bach in your background?
I did piano when I was much younger. Started at 5 or something, but got bored with having my fingers hit with a ruler, with a stick, and thought that's not for me, and graduated into trying to learn boogie and how to use chords. But so I left that sort of genre of playing classical things at that point when I was about 9, but came back again with a new appreciation of A lot of Baroque things, but particularly of J.S. Bach, when I was about sort of 14 or 15, you know, started playing a few pieces, just learning them. And that stayed with me, really. It was still around when we started Procol, and that was, I think, in my mind when I was doing that one, when, you know, thinking it up.
Yeah. So you are now doing a version of A Whiter Shade of Pale with Paul Winter at the Winter Solstice celebrations tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday at the Cathedral here in New York, Cathedral of St. John the Divine.
I'm really looking forward to that.
So a Whiter Shade of Pale worked on many levels then. I mean, it was, first of all, it had this kind of lush sound because Procol Harum had not one but two keyboardists.
So that was our purpose of starting. Well, we did we thought that we wanted two keyboards. It was luxury at the time.
Yeah.
But we certainly wanted it, you know. Mm-hmm. Bass, drums, guitar, two keyboards, me singing.
And how long was it before you started playing these Procol Harum songs with genuine orchestral forces?
Oh, quite some time, actually, quite some time. I mean, we recorded A Salty Dog, and I thought, I think strings would be good with this, and and so I did that myself, the string orchestration.
Explore the ship, replace the cook, let no one leave alive. Across the strait,
but, I mean, we played in Edmonton in 1960, not in, somewhere in Canada in 1969 with an orchestra, and we only did A Salty Dog and another long one called In Hell Twas In I. And when we played Edmonton, which in the end was a sort of top five album, we didn't play A White Shade of Pale there at all. It wasn't kind of in our repertoire at the time.
Huh.
It was going through a down phase in 1970, 71, whatever it was. And it wasn't till... Actually, I don't think it was until much later that actually thought, well, you know, this is a quite a big one. People like it. Let's try it with the orchestra as well. And with symphony, choir and everything else chucked in, of course, it got a new life or you know, it got expanded upon, let's say.
Yeah.
We use a variation at the on the front of it with orchestra, which I hope, well, I'm sure Winter's consort will sort out wonderfully in the great reverb of the St. John's the Divine.
Right, where seven or eight musicians in a consort can sound pretty orchestral. All that sound bouncing around in the cathedral.
The best,
let's actually listen to a little bit of this orchestral version of A Whiter Shade of Pale from Procol Harum. My guest is pianist and singer Gary Brooker.
When we call
that is Procol Harum's A Whiter Shade of Pale, not the original recording, but a more recent one with orchestra. Gary Brooker, the singer and keyboardist of Procol Harum, with me on Soundcheck, and appearing tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday night with Paul Winter and the consort and Paul's other guests in the annual Winter Solstice Concerts. And there's also a Saturday afternoon matinee at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. I asked you before whether you and Paul, you obviously both share a love of Bach, but there's another connection between the two of you, and that is Sir George Martin. Can you explain that for us?
Well, I think actually Procol Harum and Paul Winter go back before that, because I think we shared the bill at the old Fillmore East way back perhaps 1970 or something like that. We absolutely loved the Winter Consort. We'd never seen anybody, a band like that, you know, because they used, they kind of had a jazz flavor, let's say.
Right.
But they also used a few instruments that you wouldn't normally associate. I think we played with Paul, well, with Winter Consort quite a few times around then, with Procol Harum, and from the associations, Paul ended up in England being recorded or produced by George Martin with an album called Icarus.
Right.
Where I'd, well, I don't know. But anyway, I ended up going up to see him up there because I knew George Martin very well. And it was probably, I haven't seen him for a long time until George Martin passed away. And there was a memorial concert. At the same time, Paul had suddenly contacted me about doing something together. And over a lunch after the memorial concert, he described what he was putting on here in this cathedral and for the winter solstice. And I, being a pagan, I was in there.
Well, and in fact, this year's winter solstice celebration is subtitled Icarus, a Tribute to Sir George Martin. So Procol Harum was one of the first rock bands. You mentioned this 1970-71 Canadian tour with the orchestra. You really were one of the first to try that, right? To actually tour with a symphony orchestra?
Well, yeah, as far as I know. Well, no, that's fact. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we had done it prior to that. We played in Stratford in Ontario, and by playing with that orchestra there, we in fact used the cast of all the Shakespearean plays with the choir, but that people saw that and they then wanted us to go and be a guest of the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra, and Edmonton were trying to branch out a bit, cross over.
Right,
they weren't just stuck in their ways. They wanted to cross over and involve outside forces in what they did. So rather than a tour, it was in fact one night. And we did think at the last minute, look, in case something happens, let's get some recording machines
in.
So we did, and, well, it turned out fine.
And that's the recording of Conquistador that became a huge hit here
in
the States.
Yeah.
But that, the original version, was just the band. That's on the first record, isn't it? The original
of
Conquistador.
It hadn't really come to full. It was a simple little rock number.
Which can be seen, nor I hope for.
But when we were going up to Edmonton, I thought, well, we haven't got some nice stuff here, Salty Dog in Helter's in Iron, a few other things, but we haven't got anything sort of up tempo. So I suddenly thought, what could we do? And I suddenly thought of Conquistador, but I thought of expanding it a little, giving it a little bit more of the Spanish kind of horseback riding villains that.
Yeah, and
or whatever
the
they
trumpet
were,
fanfare. And yeah.
My mind, it's been a Mexican trump.
So who did that arrangement? How did that get worked out?
I did it on the plane on the way up there.
Really?
Hmm.
And you put it in front of these musicians and they nailed it.
Well, that's why you write it down.
That does not always guarantee that you're going to get the results you want just because you've written it down.
But I did have trouble with trying to get the trumpet player to play it in that style.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you might say mariachi or something, you know.
Yeah.
I just put a la Mexicali on the top, hoping that might sound Italian and they might know what I meant. And he did.
It turned out really well. Let's hear a little bit of this classic recording of Conquistador by Procol Harum, featuring my guest, Gary Brooker.
Though I came to cheer at you, I leave now with regrets. As the gloom begins to fall, I see there is no, only all. And though you came with soul held high, you did not conquer, only die. Though I hope for something to find, like a sea goat, best to unwind. Though I hope for something to find, like a sea goat.
That is some of Conquistador, early song from Procol Harum, which became a hit in this live recording done with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra. Gary Brooker telling us that this was an arrangement that you kind of did almost on the fly, it sounds like. You must have had some kind of background in, you know, deploying orchestral forces to know, well, the strings could do this, the...
Well, I learned it on the way. You know, Salty Dog was, or doing the string arrangement for that was quite, you know, an education, because I had to sort of find out about what does a viola sound like,
right.
Where do they sound best or where they sound soft and loud, blah, blah. Had to expand on that when writing for a bigger orchestra, which I was doing before Edmonton, you know.
So these songs are kind of malleable. They can be a band, they can be an orchestra, they can be this kind of hybrid ensemble that Paul's put together.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to playing it with them tonight. It could go always. I mean, I hope it goes right up into the top of that huge building.
The winter solstice events taking place, as always, in the world's largest Gothic cathedral, which is right here in New York, the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. Gary Brooker, special guest of the Paul Winter Consort, and my guest on Soundcheck. So, you know, Gary, we've talked about, you know, the multiple keyboards, the orchestration, you know, how Procol Harum was really kind of a pathfinding group in the late 60s, early 70s. Do you see your place in kind of the history of rock as one of the founders or progenitors of what came to be known as progressive rock?
The trouble is that the word progressive rock came along after all of this so-called progressive rock was actually done.
Mm.
I don't think any bands in those days liked to be pigeonholed. A lot of the bands that were coming out then, particularly the British ones, did not fit into any pigeonholes, really. In later years, it's been called prog rock. I think people were trying to be progressive in the sense they were trying to do things that other people weren't or hadn't done.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to work new avenues. It was much freer speaking time, late 60s and 70s. So you had the room and the willing audience to see it. There was lots of live music going on as well. I don't think one of those groups would have dared make an album without being able to play it better on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the talent was there to be live person and a recording artist.
And it's interesting to watch what happened to so-called prog rock, because for many years it was sort of a pejorative term. You know, it was like the post-punk years. It was viewed as overly ambitious or bloated or whatever. And now we've seen a real renewal of interest in that sound and in some of those older bands. And that interest has come not from aging boomers, but from younger musicians who are kind of rediscovering this music.
Yeah, well, it's, as I say, I'm not sure about prog rock and I'm not sure who fits into what where. But if it gets people, especially younger people, to be interested in Procol Harum, I will be very happy indeed. I mean, with our strengths, I think, and our aims have usually been to combine melodic, lyrical content with unusual songs and chord sequences and things like that. Rather than to be, we don't get paid by how many notes we play in a minute.
Was there something in your mind particularly English about that scene, and especially about Procol Harum?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, A White Shade of Pale, Salty Dog, Homburg, Conquistador, they don't sound American.
No.
I'm sorry, but they don't. Despite the fact that most British musicians of that era were brought up loving American music, you know.
Right.
In old-fashioned real R&B, you know, soul, blues.
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
Black American music.
So a song like An Old English Dream, you know, is this kind of a, I don't know, a staking out of some kind of musical territory on the part of the band?
No, I think it's a bit of a reflection on modern society in many ways. If we had the lyrics, or if you heard it, when we hear it, uh-huh. Let's put it that way, and we should play it tonight, I think that in any city, you can hear what it's talking about. Although it might mention an English dream, it's anybody's dream, and it's anybody's nightmare as well.
You see this fair city? There's 10,000 souls. Some live in mansions,
some live in holes, and some eat from silver, some eat from gold, some sit through garbage and sleep in the cold. I saw a great highway that stretched to the stars. Saw a deep river all choked up with cars. A babe in a cradle, capped with a cream, and an old English churchyard, an old English dream.
An Old English Dream from Procol Harum. My guest is Gary Brooker, the singer and longtime pianist of this long-running band. Playing that song with the Paul Winter Consort tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday night is part of a set that he and the Paul Winter Consort are doing for the annual Winter Solstice celebrations. This year, a tribute to the late, great producer Sir George Martin, who produced Paul Winter's Icarus and, of course, the Beatles. Did you actually ever work with George yourself, Gary?
Yes, yes. He produced No More Fear of Flying, my first solo
album. Of
course,
your first solo record.
Yeah.
With one of my all-time...
Everybody was anybody was involved in it somewhere.
One of my all-time favorite record covers of you on the front cover, you know, there's pandemonium around you, you're on a plane, the camera has been tilted, so everything's at an angle, and you've got this kind of, what, me worry look on your face.
Yeah, what, me worry, yeah.
And then on the reverse side, this is the days of the LP, of course, the plane is empty except for you, and you're kind of quizzically looking around. It's just a very, very funny, and to me, it's kind of a British, very English sense of humor in that.
English design. I mean, the same people that did the pig over the power station for Pink Floyd. It's
right,
the same.
Right, the Hipgnosis folks.
Yeah.
These songs have had a life. It's not like you're blowing the dust off, you know, an old trunk full of songs for tonight, because you've been doing your own stuff, and with a version of Procol Harum, you've been keeping these songs alive.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the current Procol Harum has been together since 1992. Is that nearly 25 years?
That is almost 25 years.
That would
years.
Be a very good lifetime with any band,
yes,
I think.
Yes, it would.
And that's with the latest version of Procol Harum. We never changed personnel very much at all, actually, but sometimes people think, but I'm probably the last man standing from 1967, which is fine with me. Luckily, I'm sort of wrote a lot of songs and I sing them, so they still got any character that came from that side of things is still there.
Yeah. Was there a time, I mean, I have to ask with Whiter Shade of Pale, was there a time, especially during the lawsuit by the organist Matthew Fisher, where you just kind of lost your taste for that song? Did it take on sort of an unpleasant association for a while?
For about 3 minutes, I think. You know, you decide certain things after nasty experiences. That I decided after that in fact, you know, I sing this song better than anybody else in the world, and it is loved around the world, so I must have some standing here. And I do hate judges and lawyers and anybody like that. I do not trust them. I don't think justice exists.
Well, that's a bleak view.
I probably, you know, I'll round up a lot more people that might feel the same.
Yeah, I do not doubt that for a second. Gary Brooker is my guest here in the Soundcheck studio. He is performing tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday night at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine with Paul Winter and the Paul Winter Consort for the annual Solstice celebrations. After Solstice, what happens next year? I mean, it is the 50th anniversary of that momentous year, the year of Whiter Shade of Pale. Do you have special plans?
I think that what should happen... That's not 1977, is it?
No, it's
2017,
not.
2017,
Michael. Sorry, Gary.
Is that 50 is a great number to exist, whether you've been married that long or whether you've been playing in a band that long. I don't know which is harder, actually, to have been married the same woman for that long or play in a band. They're both difficult, both have their ups and downs.
And you've done both.
Yeah. I'm about 2 years behind with the wife, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
But we did think that you couldn't possibly go through 50 years and pretend that it hadn't been 50 years. Therefore, we have we are producing at this moment a most stupendous new studio album, to Procol Harum Will Rise.
So something to look forward to as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the first rising of Procol Harum.
Yes.
Gary Brooker, a real pleasure to meet you and to have you here with us in the studio today. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
She said there is no reason, and the truth is plain to see.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. But as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other live performances, video shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, our weekly music roundups, and more. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us. Just go sleep. Turn the